So I'm going to call the meeting, the Senate Committee on General Government and Accountability for Wednesday, March 1st, 2017. And just for information, I'm not going to do anything with Senate Bill 120 today. It's maybe got a little more work to do, and we're going to carry that forward to a later date. So I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 91. Cheyenne, can you give us a little briefing on that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 91 removes state policy and practical requirement that travel awards earned by state personnel on state business be managed by state agencies to reduce travel costs. Declares an emergency is effective on passage. However, there is a dash one amendment that removes the emergency clause. It has no subsequent referral.
Okay. Rob?
Chair Elliott, members of the committee, my name is Rob Hamilton. I'm the manager of statewide accounting and reporting services, which is part of the chief financial office at DAS. As you know, Governor Brown has put forth this bill at the request of the Department of Administrative Services, and I'm here to add a little bit more information and answer any questions you may have about this bill. I wanted to start by explaining why statewide accounting and reporting services is here. My unit is responsible for maintaining the statewide travel policy and for receiving the annual travel awards report that is received by approximately 80 agencies every year. In our view, Senate Bill 91 eases an administrative burden on state agencies and brings it into line with private business practices, the federal government, and the majority of other states. We've seen that there has been a wide variety of travel awards that are available to state travelers, and that's to volunteers, board and commission members, and to employees, and they all fall under the umbrella of state officials as it's been used in statute and by state policy. And so most prominent among those travel awards are airline miles and hotel points. What often happens is when a traveler goes on state business for an official need is they use their own funds first for per diem purposes, and then they request reimbursement for the state after they come back from travel. So what has happened is there has been a wide variety of things that are coming to them as part of this per diem usage, and then it is the responsibility of those state agencies to track those travel awards. Tracking includes what's been earned, what's been redeemed, what's been lost, and what's been expired. A travel award is lost when a state official leaves state service. And so we have found that over the period of 2010 to 2015, a period of 6 years, there has only been $15,791 of travel awards that have been redeemed to reduce the cost of travel. That is about $2,600 a year, and we find that it far outweighed the cost of administering those benefits. Part of the travel awards report actually requires a state agency had to certify that the data that they submit to DAS is correct. And as I mentioned earlier, there's quite a bit of work that goes into tracking these travel awards. The high in that period of time I mentioned earlier, 2010 to 2016, was $5,300 in 2010, and the low was $0 in 2013. During that time frame, we've also found that approximately only 8 of the 80 agencies generally have any savings that they receive as part of the travel awards, but all 80 are required to track these travel awards. The reason we find that there's a mismatch between the benefit that's received and the cost of tracking that is it's often impossible for one traveler to earn a travel award and have it be used by another traveler. They're assigned to a specific individual, and there's just not a way, depending on with the travel awards that are earned, to give it to another person. It's tied to the individual. The National Association of State Comptrollers in 2016 conducted a nationwide survey of the states, and they found that 44 states responded to this survey, and only 15 other states require that travel awards be maintained by the state that the official business has occurred. So we want to bring ourselves in line with the majority of other states, and we also want to bring ourselves in line with the federal government. Since 2001, officials traveling for the federal government have been allowed to keep their travel awards, and the reasons they cited were to be consistent with private business practices and to avoid the burden of tracking the awards. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of you today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Don't see any questions. Senator Hess.
Thank you. I can't even imagine how the state manages these awards, given the changing nature of them and just the way things work. And so I think it would be very practical to just kind of get out of that drawer. But I think, you know, it'd be great if we could figure out a way to travel less, period. And I certainly wouldn't want to create an environment where someone is now incentivized to travel because they'll earn some bonus awards. So has there been any consideration to sort of doing that?
Chair Riley, Senator Hess, to my understanding, I know that Governor Brown has halted non-essential travel for the remainder of the biennium beginning on December 1st, and it's always under the responsibility of the agency or those with expenditure decision authority to say, is this a prudent use of state funds? We really encourage whatever other mechanisms are available to a traveler, if it's video conferencing, and really trying to just focus on, is there a need for state travel? To your question, it's a constant evaluation. Is this travel really necessary?
Okay, thank you very much. So we don't have a work session scheduled for this, so I'm just going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 188.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 188 creates a task force to examine the efficacy and efficiency of regulatory boards and commissions and recommend periodic review and or sunset within 30 days of its final meeting, that is the task force's final meeting, to the legislature. It specifies the composition, the formalities and duties, requires the Legislative Research and Policy Office to staff the task force, and takes effect the 91st day after sine die. This one has a subsequent referral to Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, we don't have anyone signed up to testify on this. Is there anybody who wants to testify on this bill?
Doesn't sound like we need a task force, does it?
No, no. And this was a committee bill, and it was a placeholder. I think that we can move on with
keep it as a placeholder. Who knows?
Keep it as a placeholder and move on.
Relating to state government regulatory entities and prescribing.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I was going to say it's kind of similar to Senate Bill 193. There are similarities anyway. I think they kind of have to do with the same sort of idea. And it has been brought up before in previous sessions. A number of senators have brought it up. I think I'm one of them.
Yes. Yes. And I believe that what we want to actually do is go ahead and look at, as a committee, look at these boards and commissions and possibly sunsetting some of them by law. So
that will fill the room.
Yes, and I think,
right.
Well, it probably won't, because the ones we're looking at haven't met exactly. In over 2 years.
Oh.
So I think that we won't get many people to come and talk about boards that haven't met for 2 years. But any other comments, questions? Okay, I'm going to close that public hearing, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 193.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 193, as Senator Thatcher alluded to, creates a sunset advisory committee to evaluate the creation, function, performance, and dissolution of state agencies and make recommendations to the legislature and governor. It specifies committee composition, formalities, duties, powers, report contents, and review criteria in detail. It appropriates general fund dollars and authorizes employment of an executive director and staff. It establishes a schedule to abolish state agencies and requires agencies to report to the committee as specified prior to dissolution. It provides for displaced employees, prohibits the agency from making rules in conflict with statute, requires an annual audit and report to the Department of Administrative Services of all state agencies' compliance with rule review starting January 1st, 2019, and requires the Department of Justice to act to enforce rule review. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage, but there is also a -1 amendment that removes the emergency clause, including the 2017-19 biennium appropriation language, because it wouldn't be effective until January, of course. This one also has a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
So, amazingly enough, we don't have anyone signed up for this one.
Well, I can sign up. I have testimony I've resurrected from a previous.
Excellent. Let's hear
I
it.
I mean, you don't want to adjourn in less than 15 minutes.
Well,
now,
I do, but go ahead. And
oh, okay. Well, I've got about 20 pages.
Go ahead.
Let me just start here.
Yeah, just
all
go
right.
For it.
Well, no, I mean, basically, there have been efforts since beginning in 1897 to reduce the number of boards. I mean, can you imagine if we could just go back to that number when they were complaining then? But just, it almost seems strange to say, well, let's have a government entity talk about reducing government. But we did that with the Office of Regulatory Streamlining pretty recently, and Patrick Allen was the head of that, and I think he did some good work there. This is sort of patterned after the sunset on tax credits that we've done, where you would have a standing committee similar to that and go through
yeah.
these discussions, and that's the essence of it. But there were some other provisions as well.
Yeah, you said boards and commissions, but this is not about boards and commissions.
Well, all the ABCs, as far as I'm concerned.
Agencies, yeah.
Mm, well, there you go.
Which is a whole different ball game. Agencies and boards and commissions that haven't met for a couple of years, and agencies that are doing work, are two different animals.
Some of them redundantly, and some of them, you know, actually might even be better if they were split up. Sometimes there's arguments to that.
Okay.
Extent.
Okay. Any so. Other?
There's also
more?
A re. There. Well, I just want to say
ahead.
There's also. Put into statute in 2005 was a law that told agencies they had to review the efficacy of the rules that they came up with every 5 years, make sure they're doing, you know, supporting the mission, are effective, blah, blah, blah. So not all of them are. And so this kind of puts a little bit more enforcement in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I think it depends on what you've got in mind or what this bill talks about, but it seems to me that agencies would be very hard for an agency to hire people if their agency was going to be sunsetted next year, even if we all know that the sunset's not going to happen, that we're going to vote to keep them on. It would be very difficult to hire someone in an agency that looks like it's going to go away next year. And that, for me, that seems to be a serious problem. There are others, I think, but that's a big one. So other comments, questions? Okay, that takes us to the end of our agenda.
Mr. Chair, since I apologize for getting in late
okay.
regarding the possible work session on 120, was that
that's,
continued?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I'm going to adjourn. Thank you very much. So I'm going to adjourn. Thank you very much.